The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. King Herod heard of the disciples' preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for all the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased King Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? Her mother replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately, the girl rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Invite you to be seated. What Jesus spoke about most in his ministry was the kingdom of God. The very first words Jesus speaks in the very first chapter in this gospel, Mark's gospel, are, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. And Lutherans have a distinct understanding of that phrase, the kingdom of God. Now, you may have noticed, these are very colorful stories we have, especially the last one. But in neither the first Old Testament reading or this gospel reading, neither actually mentions the kingdom of God. Both stories, however, are about self-serving kings. So the hearer can't help but think about the comparison of a good king, right? God as king. In both readings, God's kingdom is set against the opposite, the worst of this world's kingdoms. Not that this world's kingdom, this world is evil, or tainted so that we should feel like we have to remove ourselves from it. There's a lot of good in this world too. But it is broken. Sin and evil, powerful. Not only among leaders and governments, but also in us humans. In every human too. Now I could say for this reading, you know, what these two readings, what timing, as corrupt leaders seem to be having a heyday across the world. Those who aim to amass power and wealth for themselves at the expense of their job. Those who say like that, no, I want this and you have that. The king or ruler's job, we see from scripture, is to oversee, protect, and care for the people. So I could say what timing, but I wouldn't be very accurate. I mean, has there ever been a time without corrupt rulers? We live in a broken world. In the first reading, the kingdom of God comes through Amos, a country bumpkin who fearlessly speaks God's words against the king to in the middle of the kingdom, to the king and the king's court about their injustice. They can't measure up. A plumb line gives way to how crooked they are. Amos later reminds them of the king's job, which is to take care of all the people, especially the vulnerable that are in his care. In the gospel, we're met with this gruesome image. Here we see how power run amok results in the decapitation of John the Baptist. As the mother Herodias exploits her power, right, and manipulates her daughter, and a king submits to the heinous act so as not to look bad in front of his guests. We look outside of this reading in Mark for a comparison. And in Jesus, we find a most merciful king who's willing to do the opposite of King Herod, to take a heinous thing on himself, not place it on somebody else, for the sake of the people who even execute him. That is, Jesus goes beyond being king of justice, care and protection and providence, to being a king of forgiveness and mercy. So how does the kingdom of God relate to us? What are we supposed to do? Many folks, firstly, assume that the kingdom of God equals heaven, life after death. And so the purpose of the Christian life is then somehow to make sure that you get into heaven or get saved. But Jesus' central message, particularly in Mark, is the kingdom of God is at hand. As in, yoo-hoo people, look here at me standing in front of you, says Jesus. The kingdom of God is wherever God is king, wherever God rules in this life and in the next. What does that mean? How does that happen? Where do we fit in? Are we supposed to try harder to live just, plumb line lives? Or actually better, should we notice where justice is not happening and advocate for it? Excellent ideas. And something that God calls each Christian and his church to do. Because God deeply cares, we see in the scriptures, about people who are being treated unjustly. And God is actively at work always on their behalf. But then the question is, if that's the purpose in making us, inspiring us to be more just ourselves and advocate for our neighbors, how are you doing with that? Feel like you're doing enough? And what do you choose to advocate for? There's so much suffering in our world. It's overwhelming. And here's where Lutherans are a bit distinct in our understanding of the kingdom of God. Lutherans confess that God's kingdom of justice and mercy will never fully exist in this world. Sin is too strong and our world too broken, as revealed by the cross. So what does that mean? Should we give up on advocacy if, you know, we can't bring it in? Working for fairness and justice? Lord, have mercy, no. We advocate for brothers and sisters. We call leaders and governments to be fair and just for the sake of flesh and blood, brothers and sisters who are suffering right now. We might make a little difference. We might make a big difference at times. But we don't do it with the expectation of winning the day and ushering in a time of 100% justice for eternity, because we live in a broken world. Yet in this broken world, our every small action in our daily callings can have good and bad effect on the people with whom we interact. And so, for this living out of our daily callings, God does usher in the kingdom in this world. God ushers in his kingdom, bringing it through the Word made flesh, crucified and risen for us, Christ, into whom each of us were baptized, and into whom little Cole will shortly be baptized and claimed publicly by God, who will be the ultimate and final ruler of this world at the last. God brings the kingdom in through the Word that shapes us and reshapes us as God continues to come to us through the Word, softening our hearts, giving us faith, making us even want to, when we feel overwhelmed, advocate for our neighbor and our world. Lutherans confess that the kingdom of God exists in and among us by faith in this world. We can't see it because it's hidden in the shadow of the cross. That's where we find the kingdom of God. Wherever hearts trust God as good king, caring and protective and providing. Each Christian, though, has two hearts. A heart that trusts God as king and a heart that trusts the self and sometimes gets a little bit caught up in the world. Which is why we gather together regularly around the Word so that God can work in us regularly, creating faith in and among us so that we can go out into our daily callings with a sense of confidence and freedom and hope. And we can bear witness to a God who goes beyond justice to mercy. Amen.